Happy Valley City Council work session for June 5th, 2018 is now in session. Does anybody have any questions, comments, clarifications on the agenda for the regular meeting tonight? Nobody? Okay, then I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Bryant.
All right. Thank you, Council President Ellis. The rest of the council, so the city has been approached by Verizon Wireless, who is looking to install equipment on poles in the right-of-way known as small cells. So as we know, the demand for mobile data has grown exponentially in the last couple of years. I think there was a little information in your packet about the growth of data usage. It's just more devices, more apps, requiring more information, and more people here adding to that. And that's only expected to continue. So to meet that demand, a lot of the carriers are planning to deploy these small cell antennas on utility poles. And so the purpose of this item today and what we're looking from council is direction on feedback and direction on three main issues. First, fees, what fees should be appropriate. Second, Verizon is wanting some clarification on what is considered an attachment. I'll go into more of that in more detail. And then third, the design standards. So on the fee, right now, small cells are subject to our right-of-way use fee that we put in place when we did the right-of-way ordinance, 2 years ago. And at the time, we set a fee of $5,000 per attachment per pole in the right-of-way. That was, to be honest, it was just based on what a few other cities who had done the model ordinance that we followed had in their code as well. That predated a lot of the conversation on small cells, and the feedback that we've gotten from Verizon, at least, is that that fee structure is so high that they're not going to come. So they submitted a letter to the mayor and council that was in your packet asking us to revisit that fee. Our normal standard operating procedure is to take a look at what other cities are doing around the region and kind of do a comparative analysis. The challenge that we have right now is that every city is in exactly the same phase that we are right now. Not every city, most cities, and it's they don't have a set fee yet for small cells, so doing that comparative analysis is a little bit challenging. Some of the larger cities do have fee structures, and that's in your packet. So Eugene right now is at $2,400 with a 3% annual escalator. Portland is at $1,200, although they are very clear that, have been with me anyway, that that fee is truly just a pilot program. And they are still in the process of evaluating that. Salem is pretty similar as well, $1,250. I met with City of Beaverton and Lake Oswego a couple weeks ago. Beaverton is getting ready to present to their city council in a week or two, and they are going to propose, or at the time they were planning to propose, a $2,500 fee. We also looked at some nationwide data. There's a company called XG Communities, and what they do is they've particularly in the California market, they contract with cities to sort of serve as a intermediary between the carriers and the city to do all of the figuring out what poles they can go on, do a lot of the permitting process, collect the fees, and then get the money back to the city. They've done some analysis based on their work, and it's the median is a little over 2,000 and the mean is 2,600. So with that, given that information, our recommendation would be to come back with a fee resolution of $2,500. I did inform our contact at Verizon of that recommendation. He pushed back. They never gave us a number of what was reasonable to them. I mean, I'm sure they would love zero, right? So they pushed back that amount was still likely too high. They're the only carrier that has really reached out at this point, so I think we're still early. But that was based on what we found with some of the nationwide data. That was the fee structure that seemed to make sense. The one caveat I would add is that comparing city to city on these fees can be a little bit challenging because some cities are comparing it's just a right-of-way use fee, and some cities are it's their right-of-way use fee and they own the pole, so they're giving it's a lease, in other words, Whereas in our case, we don't own any of the poles. We're just charging them the right to be in our right of way. So that is the information on fees. On
question?
Yeah.
Councilor Gregg.
Question on, you're talking about these fees. They're putting them on utility poles. Do they then have to pay a fee to the utilities to put these on?
Often, yes. We've asked for that information, but that is proprietary, so they have agreements with, say, PGE on how much they're going to pay PGE. We do not have that information.
Because so then the providers are looking at this fee they pay the utilities plus our right-of-way fee.
Correct. Whereas in other cities where they own the poles, they've got all the they have all that information. They know exactly what they'd be paying. In this case, we don't.
Since PGE is a public utility, I'm surprised that the information is that closed, but maybe it is.
At this point, Verizon's been unwilling to share.
Thank you.
Yep. I'm going to just go in to highlight the other two issues real quickly, if you don't mind, and then we can kind of come back. So the second issue that was highlighted in their letter is they wanted clarification. So our fee is per attachment. As you can see in some of the pictures that were in your packet, there's other equipment that goes with it. So they may have, you know, a couple things attached to the pole. They wanted clarification that it's whatever fee per attachment we provide is, we're not charging them a fee for the antenna and then a fee for the box. It's all kind of inclusive. I think that was our intent when we originally put the resolution together, but again, they wanted some clarification there. The third issue are the design standards. So currently we have a in our municipal code, there's some language on design standards for small cells. In looking at it and in looking at some of the examples, we are a little concerned that our code is more permissive in what it allows, and we may get some pushback from residents who see things attached to poles if they're not done in sort of the Happy Valley way. So one of the items that we would recommend coming back to council on would be putting in place some more stealth technology requirements in our code. That's something that a lot of other cities have done. It seems to be that the carriers are willing to do that. They have the technology to make to hide them and do that. So that's a recommendation that we would have as well.
Question?
Councilor Goldberg.
In any of these photos that are included in this packet, are any of these considered stealth modes?
Keep going.
I've seen all these ones. I just want to make sure that that's what we're talking about when we're...
Let me...
Like that's a stealth mode.
Yep. One where it's more hidden.
Right.
It's not the one
within,
on
inside. It's inside the light pole or.
Right, and in newer areas, I had a conversation earlier with one of their consultants about, you know, in future developments, it'd be great if the developer could work with the carriers to install the right, you know, equipment so that you can hide it in there. In existing areas where the poles already exist, that would be a little bit more challenging. But my understanding is they have better ways that they can hide it in existing poles.
So the non-stealth would be on pages like 17. Those look like...
Just on a regular pole.
Just on a regular pole. We're not trying to hide that. That's just, it's out there for everyone to see, and any of our stealth ones are...
Yeah, kind of that first page from that example, small cell components that's got all the, you know, that wouldn't, you know, that's not necessarily stealth technology. Some of the examples from like Seattle, where it says Seattle, Washington, Green Lake, you know.
Yep. Okay. Thank you.
So that's all I've got. Like I said, we're looking for direction from council on the fee. Again, we're proposing a $2,500 fee. It's a by resolution, so we can always, it's easy to change, easy to update. To interpret our attachment fee to be by small cell attachment, not necessarily each individual piece of that attachment. And then three, come back with some stronger code language to require stealth technology.
Councilor Sherman.
So I guess, you know, start with the easy parts first. You know, the notion of interpreting an attachment as a per pole accessory seems pretty straightforward, you know, and the language, I think, you know, the language of requiring stealth designs versus encouraging stealth designs, which is what we talk about here in the recommendation. You know, maybe there's a method of having, you know, I guess the question is going to be what would they push back on?
So I think one of the concepts that that Steve Coper had suggested was that if you want a type 1 design review, simple process, stealth will be required. If you're not going to submit stealth technology, we're going to make you go through a different process, a more review process. We can, curious on your feedback on that. I don't know if Michael has anything to add to that as well.
Yeah, I think it's good to incentivize stealth, but at the end of the day, if you don't have requirements for stealth technology, then you're not going to get them. They have to be mandatory at some point. Are there going to be instances where they're not stealth and they're right. going to not be attractive on top of, you know, sometimes some really attractive facilities?
Mr. Sherman?
And that, so I guess maybe there's a, that leads to another question, which is when we're talking about these small cell antenna, are we also potentially talking about, we're not just talking power poles, light poles, these could be on affixed to buildings, these could be on, you know, the school may decide to lease out the top of their building and do that. I mean, I've noticed these in other parts, in Washington along the highway, big tall church, they lease one on top. So are we talking about that in this circumstance as well, or?
Not as,
or are we just talking fee, right away fee kind of stuff?
No, they can also, the small cell technology can also, go on to other structures as well. And so what Ben's speaking about and Mr. Coper as well is it's taken this stealth to a whole nother level. And the I think important thing to remember, Michael Walter, Economic and Community Development Director, for the record, important thing to remember is that in our conversations with the industry so far, there really haven't been any objections to stealth technology, but it seems to be kind of standard operating procedure, par for the course, and people really haven't been objecting to stealth technology. So having it, we did a lot of work with the wireless communications industry in the code provisions that we put together a couple of years back, and it was very productive partnership with the industry, but I think we can have that again, right? If we speak to the industry and we talk about stealth technology going up another level, work with the industry representatives to come up with some models that work for both parties, then it certainly was successful in the first round.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Councilor Drake, did you have another question?
I'd like to keep talking.
Oh, okay, go
thank
ahead, Councilor Sherman.
That.
I'm sorry.
The other questions I have now, so those two are pretty straightforward. When we talk about providing these, so I'm assuming that it's not just going to be Verizon ultimately. We're going to have all the other providers going to want real estate as well. So are there methods, and I have no idea, I mean, if we're talking, I don't know, 50 antenna is the right number for a geography the size of Happy Valley, I have no idea how the calculation works. So do we have certain limitations as to, you know, you can only put this on every fourth pole in the city, or, you know, have we kind of thought about that process? And then is it kind of one of those first one to the door gets to put theirs up and then everybody else scrambles behind them? Can we slide our scale? You know, the more demand, the more attractive that real estate is potentially. I have no idea. But I guess maybe another question in relation to that is a provider like Verizon, do they have the capability of then reselling that bandwidth? In other words, are they using this as a profit center over and above just providing, you know, faster data service to their people that live in and around Happy Valley? And would that be a consideration for us as a council? In other words, if they're coming back to us and saying, you know, this is too expensive, we need this to be cheaper, but then they're just turning around and selling their bandwidth to other providers that would be coming adding in here, is that part of our consideration, part of the calculus? I just don't know how to address that at this point.
On your first question regarding kind of first to the door, right now that's sort of how it's been treated. I know that this is becoming a bigger conversation with other cities in my conversations with them, is, and I don't know that we have any answers of how to deal with this to make sure that there is some parity so that you don't just become, all right, now, great, you can't get data from any other carrier. That said, it's important to know that these aren't replacing the larger cell towers. So these are going to be in addition to cell towers. So there is some of that background that's still going to be existing, my understanding, talking with the carriers. But that is a conversation that is happening, and I'll be curious to kind of see how that continues, that conversation. I don't know that I have the answer to that, how you limit, say, you can only be on every other pole, or I don't know what that looks like, but it's something that I think is worth considering. The second question, you know, we're not going to, the standards, the fees are going to be sort of provider agnostic. So what's to say that a Crown Castle, who does a lot of the larger cell towers, won't get into this space as well and start to do the small cells? I don't know if that's realistic or not. And then they end up selling it to, they'll do the whole city, and then they sell half of them to Verizon and a third of them to AT&T and the remaining to T-Mobile. Maybe that will happen. I don't know. But they're not the ones knocking on the door yet.
So are these cells data only, or would they ultimately potentially not replace the cell tower, the larger cell towers, but does this open up opportunities for other providers to come in and potentially have exposure in an area?
That's a good question. I don't know.
All right. Well, my concern would just be I'd hate to price it too low out of the box when, you know, it's a business proposition for them, and they have customers here that are ultimately going to require 5G capability over time. To me, that says we kind of hold the cards in this situation, and if we're doing nothing more than pricing at the median, that seems, you know, at the average, that seems reasonable versus, you know, even considering coming in below that. I don't know.
Okay, Councilor Drake?
A couple of questions. So if they put it on a church or a building, say New Seasons, we don't collect any fee for that.
Correct. We're only collecting fee for the small cells that are in the right-of-way, since that's the property we own.
Right, okay.
If they wanted to put it on, say, the library, or in the park, or Public Works, or City Hall, then we would be looking at what type of, then that's a whole other amount conversation, but a private residence, no fee.
Right, okay. And then the other question is, we don't know how many towers that they would plan on putting in the city. I mean, how many of these setups?
And I'm gonna look to Steve, what were you looking at for Happy Valley?
So initial deployment, first round, I think about 42 nodes within the city for the first round.
Steve is a consultant representing Verizon, so 42.
Okay, and...
But that's just Verizon.
Yeah.
Right.
The other cities in Clackamas County, like Milwaukee, are they having these same conversations, or...?
There are several cities in the Portland region that are having these conversations, and so we've met with a few of them, and they're all at this stage where everybody's hoping somebody else will take the first step into something.
I mean... I know you have the fees there, excuse me, for those cities, but those cities that have not made the decision, do you have any idea what fees they're considering?
The only ones that have been willing to share are those that I provided, and Beaverton, that doesn't have any, they're looking at 25. Lake Oswego hasn't even begun to think about what they're going to provide, but they know that they need to do something. So I would say, within the next year, we'll know a lot more of where cities are starting to land.
So what is the timing on this?
I think Verizon was looking at the next year, so to speak, year to two. is when they would like to deploy. They're targeting certain cities before others, so I think for a variety of reasons, I think Happy Valley is probably a very attractive place to just because of demographics. So it'll take years before they deploy, you know, region-wide. But
so, I mean, they've got, so they're not doing this next month. They're planning to do it in July. They're planning like a year out.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of time to make a decision on this and check with the other cities.
Yes, I think if we wanted it, we would probably want to make a decision sooner rather than later, because they're going to need time to plan and figure out, you know, and know what the what their financial situation is before they can make that investment and all that time and effort into planning it if it's not going to be realistic, you know.
Okay, and the other thing, I would, if you're talking about 2,500 per site, can you put the language in up to 2,500? Because we can decide to then lower it if we need to be. In other words, I don't want the resolution to say 2,500 straight, up to 2,500. Give some flexibility.
Wouldn't that not just be another resolution where we
just change it to whatever we want?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, we could.
Unless you're looking for to have, like the staff to have discretion, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
I feel that gives a little too much leeway.
Yeah, I'm. I would lean more to a certain fee that
right.
we all agree on, rather than too much discretion. But you know, that's.
And we can always do what Portland did. You know, Portland adopted a fee. Granted, theirs was $1,200, and they said this is a pilot. They were very clear this is a pilot program. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, if you felt comfortable with a certain fee, well, you have options. Do nothing, keep it at the $5,000, and we just kind of play it out and see where what other cities start to do and kind of assess the situation. Two, take it to a lower amount and make it a pilot program and figure out, you know, come back, revisit it in a year. And you know, see where we're at there.
You all set?
Yeah.
Okay. Councilor.
Thank you.
Yeah, I guess that's really the question I would have is in relation to. I mean, this is probably more of just a generic or right-of-way fee question. But let's say that we decide 2,500 is the magic number right now and set that, and we decide a year from now that's not the right number. Are we granting a certain contract to Verizon, a certain time frame, or do we just come back and say, you know what, it's going to be $3,000 now, that's just kind of how it is, and if you want to take your ball and go home, you can?
Correct.
Okay. All right. That's reasonable.
We have, you know, our right-of-way, the ordinance that we set up, you know, we were trying to get away from those franchise agreements. We still do have the ability, if for some reason we felt that there was a need to set up a contract to do something like that, a simple one, but... Right, the way it's the program it is now is it's just in the code. And it's just a fee resolution, so we can change it any time.
Okay, good. Thank you.
You got another one?
No. Nope.
Okay, Councilor Gregg.
This is a service though that's being provided to the citizens.
Correct.
Our residents. So, I'm interested that the service be provided.
So what?
I'm interested in the service be provided. Oh. So I think it's a benefit to our residents. So. I'd like to see that go forward. So I think that is going to involve some negotiation with the providers.
Okay. Anybody else?
Thank you.
I'll throw my 2 cents in right now.
Please.
I personally am pretty comfortable with what you guys have put together here. I do like the idea that, you know, say after a year we revisit it and see how it's working and whether the fee's too high, too low. Whatever the case may be, I think that would be a good idea. The other thing, is this a yearly fee or a one-time fee?
Yearly.
So every year they pay this for however many
per
units
location.
They have?
Per pole, per year.
Okay. So we know what that is. As far as Councilor Sherman's remarks about if they put these in and then they sell it to somebody else and they make money off of it, I got to ask myself, is that really our business as long as they're paying their fee to the city? I think, you know, free enterprise, they should probably have the ability to do whatever they want to do with it. That's kind of how I feel about it. But I'm pretty comfortable with what you've got, the 2,500, and I think the stealth standards need to be looked at, tightened up there, and see what we can do with that. And Councilor Goldberg, you had a question?
No.
Okay. You know, I think we want to push the stealth we can. I think about some of these old wooden poles that have been here for years, and I don't know how you'd stealthify those, but, you know, you might be able to try to do something to them. But anything new needs to have some sort of a standard that makes it blend in with the city somehow. Does anybody have any more comments?
Yeah,
Councilor Golubic?
I agree. I think one of the concerns I have is if you're talking 42 of Verizon, you know that the first one who shows up here, a competitor is going to want to get in here with 5G as well and make sure that they have the ability to provide the same level of service for fear of losing clients. So does that mean that we end up with 170 of these things around town? And if so, then they have got to be stealth. I mean, we don't know. I don't know how many Verizon could get away with to provide the level of service that they're thinking clients want. So what if 42 is exactly what they think is needed, and then AT&T is here saying, okay, hey, we're here, we want the same thing. I don't want our community to end up a giant eyesore of these small cell towers everywhere if we're not going to have stealth mode. So I would be in favor of making sure that it be as stringent as possible to provide stealth in by all means necessary. I would also like to say that I think it's very important that we continue to expand our residents' ability to connect to the internet. I am one of these families. I don't know if you guys really got into the stats, but I was blown away by the stats of data usage. And then I looked at my own household and I'm like, oh yeah, here's seven devices that I've got between my boys and myself, and then you count Dawn's three others, and we're 10 devices for a family of four. So there's definitely the need there. And then in regards to the question of them not really saying, it wasn't a question, but a statement, them not saying what they're comfortable with, I think that what they're looking for would be what this report says, which is the current rates of $1,800 and $2,400 are fair to carriers and allow cities to recover their costs. I think that's what they're hoping for, and we're at the high side of that. I'm okay with starting at the high side of it and saying that, hey, if you want our market, then bring it.
Okay, anybody else? So we need to give Mr. Bryant some direction here, and I'll kind of try to summarize it, and if you don't like something I say, let me know. I think we're fairly comfortable with the $2,500 to start out with. And then we need some sort of a review in a year to see if this is working, not working, whatever the case may be. We also need to look closer at our stealth designs on this and maybe come back with something that, that's something you guys are gonna have to look into and see what everybody's doing on these, and they probably know better than we do what they can and can't do. And so I think we're fairly comfortable with what's going on here, with a few little tweaks here and there to tighten it up and make sure it looks the way we want it to. As far as the number, I take Councilor Golubic's point about we don't want one on every pole. I guess if it just looked like the pole, it wouldn't matter.
Right.
But I don't know if we could ever get to that point or not. So I do take that seriously, that we don't want one on every pole if you can see it. So I don't know how you would regulate how many we get, but that might be something that needs to be looked into too. So,
okay.
Does that give you kind of what you need?
Yep, I think it gives me exactly what I need before I move forward, just so I don't get in trouble from the mayor. She did stop by knowing that she couldn't be here. Her two cents were, I think, very similar to this feedback. She was pretty comfortable with what we were proposing and I think what this direction we're taking. I think the only caveat that she had was that she does want to make it workable. So I think setting it at the 25 and then revisiting in a year and just kind of seeing where we are hopefully would meet her desires as well. So we will do that.
Okay.
And I'll connect with community development too, and we can run any stealth technology changes and through Planning Commission and work with Verizon and any other carriers and figure out what we can do.
Oh, and I wanted to clarify one other thing, because it is one of the recommendations, and we are all in agreement that one small cell tower, no matter how many connection points there are in that small cell tower, is one tower.
1 fee.
Yeah, 1 fee.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Anybody have any final comments before we move on? Nope. Good?
Yep, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bryant. Okay, so we're gonna move on to proposed master fee schedule changes, fee and deposit amendments within the Economic and Community Development Department. I'll turn it over to Mr. Bryant again.
All right, well, every so often, the Economic Community Development Department evaluates its fees to make sure they're fair and reasonable and in line with practices, and so with that, Matt Rozelle has been doing some work with the rest of the department to look at them, and I'm gonna actually turn it over to him to highlight their most recent review and provide an overview of some of the changes that are in your packet. So.
All right, thank you, Council President Ellis and councilors. Thank you for having me here. So we went through, each of the division managers went through and looked at the fees just to see if there were any adjustments that needed to be made. I broke them up into the different divisions. So engineering was hearing from residents that the $300 right-of-way fee was too much when they were replacing a sidewalk panel or something. So they wanted to have a fee that was more in line. So we gave that the 100, we created a type one for, you know, example driveways, and then a type two for larger projects or 5% of the construction value, and then a re-inspection fee of $100. We have some of them where we're going out and spending a lot of time with homeowners that are trying to do their own work. You know, we don't like to charge it, but it takes time out of our day. And then we also put in a footnote that we could just waive the fee if it was a small project at the discretion of the engineering manager. The planning division fees were basically deposits that we're adjusting. Some of the fees are, they're all kind of a flow through the planning division. Some of them are go to the hearings officer, some of them are going to to DKS, our traffic engineer. Yes. So these are just flow through. Some of them we're requesting more money from often. Others, you know, we're not getting enough, or we're getting too much money and we don't need as much of a deposit. So, and then in the building division, we currently do not charge for certificate of occupancies, for temporary certificate of occupancies. And one of the things that we've ran into is we give somebody as temporary and then they just don't complete their project. So we put this in place to help facilitate, give us a hammer to be able to get these projects closed up. We've had some that have gone on for 6-7 years. So this would give us that tool. And then we do not, once they do receive their C of O, we don't charge them for that. It's just for the temporaries, and it's the staff time that we have tracking those and trying to track them down to get their C of O. And then the other one was the master fee plan for builders. Many of the production builders will build the same plan time and time again. So the state has a system where they can get reduced plan review fees because we're not having to spend as much time on the plans after they've been reviewed the first time. So that master fee program would reduce the plan review fees for those builders if it's an identical plan. And then the last one is when the county was collecting the SDC charges, we're charging them a $75 administrative fee, and now that they're being kept in house, we were just going to remove that fee.
Okay. Questions, anybody? Nope. Councilor Drake?
Actually, I do have a question.
Go right ahead.
When you're talking about these, the master plan fees, so they have the same house, but those houses can, by most builders, be modified. So in other words, they submit this master plan, but then the owner says, I want to make changes. So then that would, are you notified of those changes?
Yes, we would be notified of those changes. And the inspectors in the field would notice that something's off from the plans. And typically in a situation like that, we would charge an hourly fee for any time that we had re-reviewing the plans.
Okay.
Okay, I have a couple things. The sidewalk part of it. Everything else I'm pretty comfortable with. Are Are you having homeowners replacing their own sidewalk and doing the concrete work? Is that what I'm hearing?
We have had some in some situations.
Kind of bothers me a little bit because how do we know what kind of quality we're going to get? The average homeowner, I don't think, can make a sidewalk look like a sidewalk. Seriously.
Yeah, and
so that concerns me a little bit on what kind of quality we're getting. Some cities don't allow that. You have a list of contractors you have to use that are approved by the city. I don't really want to get into that, but on the other hand, having a homeowner do a sidewalk is, I don't know. It's
I will say the engineering division highly recommends them hire a contractor to do this work. And that's where part of the re-inspection fee comes in, is they have had them have to take them out if they don't meet the standards.
So we're still doing an inspection, regardless of who's doing it.
But you're doing an inspection before they pour the concrete, not after. That's my concern.
They do follow up.
Oh, they do a follow up? Okay, well, that could help. The other thing I have is, I got to tell a little story. 14, 15 years ago when I was on the planning commission, this sidewalk permit thing came up. And if I remember correctly, and I think I'm remembering correctly, if you had a sidewalk that the city deemed needed to be replaced because street tree roots raised it and broke the sidewalk, we determined that you shouldn't have to pay a permit fee. You should get a permit, but you shouldn't have to pay it. Because, and the reasoning behind this was, the city requires the trees. You get, but and you know, you have to have street trees in our city. It's a requirement. Now, if I put in a street tree and it grows up, even if it's an approved species, and breaks the sidewalk, I don't think I should have to pay for a permit. I think I should have to fix it, and I think I should have to get a permit, but I don't think I should have to pay for it, because the city's the one that mandated this. Go ahead.
That is exactly why we put in the footnote that we can waive the fees. If it was caused by a tree or something that we're requiring them to have in there, we can
say. I get that. But my concern with that is we can waive, not we will waive. That's what concerns me. You know, 5 years from now, none of us are here, or whatever the case may be, whoever the building official is can say, 10 years, 20.
Like, where am I going?
Me too.
I won't be here. So, you know, long-term effect. I mean, I thought up until recently that if a street tree breaks the sidewalk, we were not charging street fees.
We typically
come to
not.
Find out we are.
I believe that they have been waiving a lot of those. I don't know for a fact because
I mean, if your landscaper drives across the sidewalk and breaks it, and I don't care, charge them, you know, whatever the going rate is, or if they need to replace their driveway, that's a different thing. And I'm only talking about when a street tree uproots a sidewalk and breaks it, and you have to replace it. And briefly, what happened a long time ago? I lived in Gresham, and this very thing happened to me. The code enforcement comes by and say you got to replace your sidewalk. So I go down to the city, and they charge me a fee. Well, I almost got arrested. Because I just didn't think that was fair.
We could add to the footnote that if it's, you know, caused by tree roots, then the fee would be waived.
I would be pretty comfortable with that. I don't want it's discretion. I want it to be black and white. If it's caused by a tree root, then you don't have to pay the permit fee. You still got to replace it, obviously, but you don't have to pay the permit fee. Mr. Bryant.
I would just
street tree. Straight tree. Yeah, I wanted to clarify
street tree.
That.
Yeah, yeah, street tree. Yeah, if the tree's on your property and it's next to the sidewalk and it breaks the sidewalk, that's your responsibility.
Then how do you get into that scenario? I mean, how do you know if it's a street tree or a tree in their property?
Well, most street trees are, you know.
It's an I understand that. But what if they have a tree right on the other side of
the
sidewalk?
As far as I'm concerned, that's on their property.
To a place where, well, which root is it?
I get your point, but it's usually fairly easy to tell. I mean, you know, hey, I'm just saying what I think.
No,
if you guys don't think this is a good idea, then we'll move on.
I totally agree. I'm not disagreeing that if we have a street tree that is required by the city and it is upheaving the panel, yes, I think that we should waive that fee. But I'm just playing devil's advocate of We've got the person who, on the other side, they love trees, and on the other side, they've got a walnut tree that all of a sudden, that's not a straight tree.
No, it's not.
Michael Walter, Economic and Community Development Director. I think, that Councilor Ellis is correct, it's usually pretty easy, but B, if it's not easy, we have trained experts.
Okay. Well, yeah, and I guess when you get down to it, this could be an issue, but how often is it going to be an issue? If it was a big issue, you just go, no fee, and the city loses $150 and everybody's happy. So, I mean, how often is that going to happen? But I take your point. So anyway, that's my only, all the other fees that were in here, I'm happy with. I thought it all looked really good. The tree thing and the sidewalk was my only little whine, I guess, going. So, but if nobody else wants to go along with that, that's fine. But I'm just curious.
No, I'm fine with it. And I'm all for you not getting thrown in jail because you have a street tree.
When I went down to Gresham City Hall and got a permit and they charged me, and I don't know how much it was back then. That was 30 years ago. It was like a couple hundred bucks. That was a lot of money back then. I was like, wait a minute. Anyway. Okay, direction okay on that? Looks like we're good, except for some changes there to the sidewalk fee.
Okay.
And we're good to go.
We'll bring it back.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
So I think we have some time here, so we'll move on to city manager report.
Just got two quick items, mainly just about the next couple of meetings. So the next council meeting in June is going to be just a work session. So it's extended work session, no regular meeting. So right now, as it stands, we've got topics to include. The League of Orange Cities has sent out their survey that they're asking city councils to review on legislative priorities for the next session already. So talk on about that. A little information on the housing needs analysis, buildable lands inventory, some discussion on updates to the marijuana code, just as things have evolved and the county's made some changes, PUD setbacks, and then finally wrap up with a conversation about some fees for recreation programs. Now that we are starting to do Parks and Rec, we need to update our fee resolution just like we just did here for recreation programs. And so have a conversation. It's a little bit more nuanced because I don't know that we're going to know every little program and class that's going to be offered, so we've got to be strategic on how we put that together. So that's coming up next meeting, just a work session, and then the first meeting in July has been canceled because it's right before 4th of July.
4th of July.
So that's all I've got.
Would you do me a favor? Send us all an email.
Yep.
That tells us about the next meeting's a work session, and then the other one's canceled.
You bet.
Just so I can remember and don't show up here and there's nobody here.
We'll put a camera out just to see what happens.
So I would appreciate that. Gotta keep me on the straight and narrow.
We'll shoot you an email.
Okay, that's it?
I can actually do you one better, too. We can have on your calendars, have Gay update the council calendar,
that'd
too.
That'd be fine. Just as long as I can look at it. Well. No,
yep.
What I'm doing. Okay.
Yep.
We still have some time, so we'll do the council comments, concerns. We'll start with Councilor Drake, if that's all right.
Sure. Lots of stuff going on. I turned my thing off. Now I can't even tell you what I did. I was chair of the Water Environmental Services Budget Committee, and we passed the budget as of yesterday. So that was good. It's moving forward, and I'm trying to get some information from them on the fact that we in CCSD number one service area are paying for Hoodland and Boring and other places up on the mountain, their sewer services. And they keep saying the number is very small, but I'm trying to figure out how small is small. Because they said it's very minimal to the rates it may be, but we should at least have a number of what we're subsidizing, which they're paying, how much we are. The district is subsidizing their sewers. Because, and the reason for that is it may be small, but the more they start subsidizing, these small sewer systems, the cost is going to grow. So something we should all be interested in. Last week, fed the homeless, still out of a trailer because they haven't got the building, you know, the building burned, community center down there, service center they call it, burned, at least the back side of it, so they're trying to get that repaired and fixed. And I've got a couple other meetings, let me see, trying to look at this, sorry guys, I'm just, one second. Did the city dinner in Wilsonville at the Museum of Speed there. It's really nice, really interesting place. So if you haven't been there, you should go there. I found it very nice. I went to Sonia's election party. That was fun. So that's about, and I will be attending the chamber event, which is the same night as the traffic public safety meeting. And that's next week. And there's a West, another sewer meeting on the 25th that I'll be attending. And then we have the C4 retreat at the end of the mountain, resort at the mountain, at the end of the month, 29th and 30th. And that's a half a day on the 29th and a half a day, almost a full day on Saturday. And we're going to be talking, they have dropped the housing issues from C4. County's doing that, not really involved in it, and it's mainly about the transportation. So that's what we're going to be talking about, JPAC, transportation issues, the charges, what we can do, we've got some extra money, how is that going to be allotted, that kind of stuff. So it's really going to be 2 days about transportation.
Okay, Councilor Goldberg.
All right, I had the meeting, the breakfast with Congressman Schrader went well. Of course, we all were at our budget committee meeting. I had library committee meeting. I had the Happy Valley Business Alliance general meeting. I'm back to teaching junior achievement. This time it's first graders and it's the end of the school year. So it is quite the task to keep them engaged and listening, but it's been a lot of fun. They're getting a lot out of it. Again. Junior achievement, if you guys haven't taught it or haven't been involved in the curriculum, it's teaching how our community operates. It's not just about business, it's about how city governments operate. It's about how businesses are needed, economic development. So it's really incredible information for first through, I think it goes through high school. So I've been teaching a lot of those courses. I'll finish out through the school year next week on that. I was at the Bishop's ribbon cutting, and then I officially had my initiation into Rotary, so I've been added to the list of Rotary, and we'll be attending lunches, working that out with Lori and Councilor Sherman and City Manager Jason Tuck to get in that, and then, of course, we'll be involved in other events with Rotary. Attended the Education Foundation Gala and spent some money there. And close to the table and had the mayor there with us as well. Attended the Beatrice Morrow Canady Elementary School groundbreaking ceremony. That was a great event to see the site of our new elementary school and what's going on there. My wife and I were in charge of the Happy Valley Fun Run. Great community event, brings out a ton of people. We had 525 people registered for the race, and I think all 525 showed up. Thankfully, we didn't have any kids take off the wrong direction like we did last year, so that was good. I also did have a meeting with school board member Mitzi Bauer, and this is in regards to school safety. I obviously am the only counselor with students in our local schools, and every time there's a school shooting, people are coming to me saying, what are you guys doing for the safety of our kids, and I educate them, well, that's really a school district issue, but I'm happy to bring your concerns to the forefront. And so we sat down, she showed me what they're working on in terms of what they can handle right now as a school district, and I told them that, you know, that I think it would be great if the City of Happy Valley Council and School Board were partnering together to ensure the safety of our kids and looking at what we can do to increase the safety in our school. So she and I will have some future meetings to be scheduled. Coming up, CCBA board meeting. I will be attending the Rotary golf tournament with Councilor Sherman to tell jokes to all the bad golfers on the golf course and yell at them as they're swinging. And then I will also be attending the North Clackamas County Chamber Awards Dinner.
Okay, Councilor Sherman.
A lot of the same things. Took the city staff for a hike. Going to do that again this month as well. It's been very enjoyable. Budget Committee, Rotary, Public Art Committee. I was part of a tour with some high schoolers of City Hall. Kurt Schrader breakfast. I met with Mel Huey from Metro regarding our area trails. Metro is looking at kind of doing a reassessment of trails and being more active in this area. So kind of helping him understand where we're missing some connectivity between certain of our major trail areas. And with that, I also talked to Dan Muller, who is the Conservation Program Director at Metro. They're ending up their kind of funding cycle for this last bond, and they'll be going out potentially to it for another bond. And while they can't specifically say which regions they deploy assets into, because that's confidential, that would change the markets, he's very interested in having a conversation with us about kind of what the different levers are that we can use as we're taking our parks here to kind of grow our parkland as well in relation to that. So I thought that was just a really positive conversation, and good to have just another group behind us helping that process. Parks Advisory, Bishop's Cuts pre-opening gathering, and then of course coming up, the Chamber and Clackamas Rotary Golf Tournament. There you go.
I was involved in a budget committee process. I've been in and out of town and my cold, so that's about it.
Oh, I got another thing.
Oh, Councilor Gray.
It's my birthday Sunday.
Oh, okay.
Birthday.
All right, we are adjourned. Take a little break. Okay. Until hopefully the mayor shows up.
Yep.